Is Miss Eyre there? Now demanded the master, half rising from his seat to look round to the door, near which I still stood. Ah, well, come forward. Be seated here. He drew a chair near his own. I am not fond of the prattle of children, he continued. For old bachelor as I am, I have no pleasant associations connected with their lisp. It would be intolerable to me to pass a whole evening tête-à-tête with a brat. Don't draw that chair farther off, Miss Eyre. Sit down exactly where I placed it, if you please, that is. Oh, confound these civilities, I continually forget them. Nor do I particularly affect simple-minded old ladies. By the by, I must have mine in mind. It won't do to neglect her. She is a Fairfax, or wed to one, and blood is said to be thicker than water. He rang, and dispatched an invitation to Mrs. Fairfax, who soon arrived, knitting basket in hand. Good evening, madam. I sent to you for a charitable purpose. I have forbidden Adele to talk to me about her presence, and she is bursting with repletion. Have the goodness to serve her as auditress and interlocutress. It will be one of the most benevolent acts you have ever performed. Adele, indeed, no sooner saw Mrs. Fairfax than she summoned her to the sofa, and there quickly filled her lap with the porcelain, the ivory, the waxen contents of her boîte, pouring out, meantime, explanations and raptures in such broken English as she was mistress of. "Now I have performed the part of a good host," pursued Mr. Rochester, "put my guests into the way of amusing each other. I ought to be at liberty to attend to my own pleasure. Miss Eyre, draw your chair still a little farther forward. You're yet too far back. I cannot see you without disturbing my position in this comfortable chair, which I have no mind to do." I did as I was bid, though I would have much rather have remained somewhat in the shade. But Mr. Rochester had such a direct way of giving orders, it seemed a matter of course to obey him promptly.